Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Divorced Girl Smiling podcast. My name is Jackie Pilisoff, and I'm your host. I'm the creator and editor-in-chief of Divorced Girl Smiling, the website, the podcast, and the mobile app. Today, I want to dedicate this whole podcast to everything about dating. And the reason I want to do that is because dating, I think, while you're going through a divorce, or even if you're thinking about divorce, or you're into your divorce or after divorce, can feel really, really stressful and scary and intimidating. And, you know, after being with the same person for 10 years or 20 or 30, or even if you were only married a couple years, dating after divorce, it's like, it's very, very scary. But it can also be something you're really looking forward to. You know, maybe you've been unhappy for a long time and you felt lonely and you're missing that connection and you're ready to date and you're secretly excited. So don't feel guilty about being excited. I think it's really normal, even if you're at the beginning of your divorce, just to feel that hopefulness that, you know, someday you might find someone who's such a better match and you might be in love again and just really happy. I want to start off by talking about my personal dating experience so that you have an idea that I have some credibility. So I basically started dating, let's say, when I was 16. Didn't get married till I was 35, so I dated that whole time. And then I got divorced at 41, and I dated for a couple years. And then I had a boyfriend that was kind of long-term. And then we broke up, and then I dated again at 49. So I definitely feel like I have the experience and authority to talk about dating. And I sometimes feel like I could even be a dating coach, which I'm actually considering doing, but more on that later. So is dating after divorce at 40 or 50 or 60 easy? How can I say this in a delicate way? Hell no. Dating after divorce at 40 or 50 or 35 or 60 is kind of like a roller coaster ride. There's the ups and downs of feeling like you're on a cloud. You just met someone. He's great. And then he turns out to be a schmuck. And then you just feel hopeless, like you trusted him and he wasn't there. And then you go back up because you meet someone else. And really, it can be that up and down. And that's totally okay. I always tell people to try to look at dating after divorce as an adventure versus a chore. If you have the right attitude and you have a positive outlook, I promise you it can be an enjoyable experience. So I'm just going to start from, how do you dress for a date? People listening to this maybe haven't dated in a decade, maybe two, maybe three. So I want to give advice to both men and women. And my advice is, don't try so hard. Less is more. You don't need to wear low-cut dresses that are showing your boobs. You don't have to show your body, but also don't dress in clothes that make you look like a tent, like you're trying to hide your body either. So just wear what makes you feel good about yourself. You don't have to worry about being so trendy. And highlight what you like about yourself. So I always feel really comfortable in jeans. That's my thing. I like jeans. And so if you want to wear jeans, wear jeans. If you love your arms and you feel like you have nice arms, wear a sleeveless top. If you love your lips and you think you have nice lips, bright lipstick is the way to go. But definitely don't try too hard and really, really be you when it comes to dressing. And by the way, if you are like a trendy person, wear something trendy. That's you. Going on a date is about showing somebody your authentic self. And if the person doesn't like it, tough. And if he or she does, that's wonderful. But more on that later. I want to move on to conversation on a first date. I want to talk about 9 turnoffs, okay? So I remember once I went out with a guy who was talking about how awesome being on Bumble and Tinder was and how tons of women were dying to meet him. I was so turned off, I wanted to puke. So even if you are having a good experience on dating sites, don't share it. I almost feel like it's okay to say, you know, it's been hard on these dating sites. You meet a bunch of psychos. I'm so glad I met you. That's okay. But bragging about how many women want to date you or how many guys you're hearing from is just a turnoff. Number two, do not badmouth your ex or talk about your situation or your divorce too much. I think it's okay to touch on it, and I think a valid question in dating is, why did you get divorced? And I always tell people it's really good to have some kind of an answer in your head planned out for that question. Don't get into the fact that he cheated. I mean, I think it's okay to say he cheated if that was the reason you got divorced. But don't dwell on it and don't say he's like an effing a-hole and, you know, he's just a cheat and start talking like you're bitter. That does not work. But have kind of an idea in your head planned out of what you're going to say when your date says, why did you get divorced? Try to be gracious about it. Try to be polite. And don't talk about it too long. I remember once I was going to go out with this guy, and he said something about how his wife was a C. And he actually used the word. And at that point, I just canceled the date and was like, there's no way. That's it. It was over for me. Not acceptable. All right, moving on to some more turnoffs. But before I do that, I want to mention two Divorce Girl Smiling partners in case you are looking. The first person I want to mention is divorce attorney Tiffany Hughes. I've known Tiffany for about 3 years. Tiffany is wonderful. She will fight for you. And when I say fight, I don't mean that she's trying to take you to court and go through litigation for 2 years. Meaning she has your back, she will do what's best for you and do everything she can. She's an extremely loyal person, and Tiffany has her own firm. So if you don't want to go with the big firm, Tiffany is a good option. And you can find her on Divorce Girl Smiling or at the law office of Tiffany M. Hughes. The second Divorce Girl Smiling partner I want to mention is CEL & Associates, who are Ellen Feldman and Brian James. They're a team of divorce mediators who I've known for over a decade. I think they are smart, experienced, compassionate, and they really are dedicated to getting people divorced in an amicable way, what's best for the kids, and it won't take too long and it won't cost you half as much as if you went to litigation. And you can find them on Divorced Girl Smiling or at CELandAssociates.com. You're listening to the Divorced Girl Smiling podcast with Jackie Pilosoff. I'm talking dating after divorce, specifically huge turnoffs. And I'm moving on to number four, bragging about how great you're doing and how the divorce was the best thing that ever happened to you. Listen to me. It is okay to be vulnerable and to say, I'm hurting. This is hard for me. But there's a fine line between playing the victim and acting helpless and acting like you are so doing amazing that it's not even funny. So I hope that makes sense. Number five, well, playing the victim. That's very unattractive. You don't want to paint that picture that you are so upset and that your husband left you with no money and that he's moved on and he's getting married. Very, very bad. Or even, you know, I was abused for 20 years. Even if that's true, I feel your pain. I totally get you. You have the right to feel that way, but don't share it on your first couple of dates. Moving on to number six, don't give someone a novel about yourself. Instead, ask your date questions. Allow them to talk. Listening is so much more important than talking. And I have to quote my friend Bella Gandhi. She's a dating coach, and Bella talks about this. She calls it showing up and throwing up. So I'm sure you can relate. Have you ever gone out with someone and they show up on the date and they just completely like throw up? They talk about themselves the entire time. You can't get a word in edgewise, and all they do is just talk, talk, talk about themselves. And then at the end of the day, you realize they haven't asked you one thing about you. Don't do that. All right, number 7. Don't try to prove to your date that you're the best father or the best mother in the world. And don't spend time talking about how much time you spend with your kids, how much money you spend on them, how your ex does nothing. Bad, bad, bad. Instead, talk a little bit about your kids, but show your date what's important about you, what your passions are. Being a mother or a father is just one aspect of your life. Yes, it's one of the most important, but you also have to show people what you're all about and show your authentic self, because the person is not on a date with you to hear about what a great parent you are. They want to know about you. Moving on, do not send any food back, even if it's awful, and do not be rude to the waiter or waitress. That is just the hugest turnoff to someone. Now, if you are on your 5th or 6th date with someone and the food isn't good, okay, but don't send the food back, at least on the first 3 dates. And being rude to a waiter or waitress is just unacceptable at any time. All right, moving on. Do not look at your phone and do not text. In fact, put your phone in your purse for the entire date, unless you have young kids and you need to keep it on to see if the babysitter might call. So I want to move on to more positive tips about dating. Make sure you smile a lot. Make sure you laugh a lot. Before you leave the house, I want you to think to yourself, whatever happens is fine. I am going on this date and I really hope it goes well and I hope he likes me. But if he doesn't, that is perfectly fine. No big deal. Dating is a numbers game. It's kind of like job interviews. You might have to go on several before you find the right match. And have the attitude of, I hope I like him because I want to make sure that he is good enough for me. That is such a better attitude than, oh my gosh, I hope he doesn't think I'm fat. I hope he doesn't think I'm, you know, not smart enough, whatever it is. Just focus on being authentic and being the best version of yourself. Show your best self, and that's all you can do. The rest of it is out of your control. Next thing is don't be afraid to be vulnerable. One time I went on this date, and this guy told my friend that I was the most interesting person he ever had a first date with. And do you know why that is? Because I was vulnerable. I was talking and asking some pretty deep questions early on, and the conversation got really interesting. And I think that, again, there's a fine line between sharing too much, but you don't want to be too superficial because then it just gets to be boring. So be vulnerable, be authentic, but know when to draw the line. Another thing is make the other person feel important and special and like he or she matters. Even if you know it's not going to work out and you know he's not for you, you know, think about this. The person took the time to make a date with you, to get dressed, to meet you at a certain restaurant, to pay. And for that, the person deserves your respect. So even if you don't really, really like him as more than friends, just make the person feel good. No one ever, ever went wrong doing that. It's just the right thing to do. It's good karma. And it's just, you will be rewarded for being a nice person who treated somebody in a nice way with respect. And by the way, if you don't like someone romantically, the person could end up being a platonic friend who not only you could really enjoy, but who you might meet the love of your life through him. So that's another thing. And another tip I want to give is level with your date. And what I mean by that is don't be afraid to be upfront about what you want. You know, you don't want to scare the person off, but you don't want to play games either. So if you want to meet someone, I think it's perfectly okay on a date to say, look, I'm not interested in a casual hookup. That's not what I'm about. If you are, maybe this isn't the right fit, but I'd really like to meet someone. I'm, you know, maybe not looking to get married next week or anything, but I want a relationship. And if the person never calls you back, fine. Then he just basically, you know, didn't waste your time. So those are my tips. I want to finish off by talking about what to do at the end of the night. And I have advice for I can't meet anyone in dating after divorce. Before I do that, I want to mention two more Divorce Girl Smiling partners. The first one is divorce attorney Anna Krolakowska. Anna is a wonderful, warm, caring person, but make no mistake, she is very effective at her job. She's a wonderful attorney. She prefers to mediate divorces or go through the collaborative divorce process. I've known Anna for over 10 years. I trust her. I think she's wonderful. She can be reached at annaklaw.com or on Divorce Girl Smiling. And the last person I want to mention is wills and estate planning attorney Stephanie Sexauer. So when somebody is going through a divorce, every time, in every single divorce, you need to redo your will and trust or get a will and trust right after your divorce is final, in the first 6 months. It's very important, and Stephanie can help you. I've known her for about 2 years. She's done the wills and estate plan for a couple different people I know, and they said wonderful things about her. And she can be reached at sexhourlaw.com or on Divorce Girl Smiling. Back to dating after divorce. Here are a couple tips on what happens at the end of the night. Okay, everyone is going to think I am really old-fashioned here, but I have to tell you, at the end of the night, do not have sex with your date if it's the first date. Even I say don't have sex with someone for at least a few dates. Why? Because it will cloud your judgment and you will think you're in love with this person. Okay, that's the first thing. Second thing is, where do you go from here? I mean, it just makes everything awkward and weird and complicates things. And people's emotions run much higher when they sleep with somebody at the beginning. Sorry, that's just my opinion. You don't have to take my advice, but I'm telling you, if you wait, it will be so much better. So you can make out, fool around, whatever. No sex for a while. Another thing is, please do not go to someone's house or get into somebody's car if you just met them or if you only know them from a dating site. Make sure that it's after you really trust that you know the person. You don't want to put yourself in a compromising position. The last thing is, if he doesn't call or doesn't respond to you, even though you thought the date went well, chalk it up to the typical disappointments that dating can bring. And here are four words. Don't take it personally. You have no idea what's going on in the person's life. Maybe they just started dating someone else. Maybe they're all messed up emotionally and they just hid that fact well. It's not you. They didn't know you well enough to not like you as a person. So try not to take it personally. I know it's not easy, but it wasn't meant to be, and better things are coming your way. Here is how I want to close this podcast on dating. Here is my advice for people who say, I can't meet anyone. First of all, maybe you're just having bad luck. You're not in the right place at the right time. My advice for that is there's nothing you can do, but I promise it will change. Number two, maybe you have to ask yourself if you have an attraction to the wrong kind of people. Like, I used to have an addiction of dating non-committal bad boys, and basically it got me to being 35 and single. So definitely ask yourself if you're attracted to the wrong kinds of people. The third reason is ask yourself if maybe there's something about you that you don't like, because I think it's impossible to fall in love if you don't like yourself. So maybe work on yourself and your self-esteem before you jump into dating. Another reason for I can't meet anyone, maybe you're carrying too much pain from your divorce or a past relationship, and you just can't do it emotionally. In this case, my advice would be to go to therapy or get into some kind of support group so that you can work through this pain so that you're emotionally available to date again. And another reason for I can't meet anyone is because in this day and age, I think one of the biggest challenges of dating is that people have so many possible dates at their fingertips. Tinder, Bumble, Match.com. All you have to do is keep swiping. It's almost like when you're shopping at Lowman's or Nordstrom Rack, and there's so much merchandise that you can't even see anything good because there's way too much. So maybe the key is to stop swiping so much and look at quality. Only look at a few people and keep an open mind. Don't just have your mind everywhere on all these different people and maybe I'm missing out on someone better. So less might be more in this situation. In closing, what I want to say is nobody should have to be alone. And it saddens me when I think about people who are getting divorced and they're lonely and they think they're going to be lonely and alone forever. And I promise you, I'm living proof that you won't be that way forever. I'm in the best relationship I've ever been in because I took the time to be by myself and work on myself and date a bunch of people and figure out what I wanted and what I deserved. I promise you, it's not going to take you 15 years. That's just my journey. But if you try to do the right things by working on yourself and not being so desperate to meet someone and instead be more focused on meeting friends and enriching your life in other ways and focusing on your children, I promise love will find you. I hope that helps. I wish you all the best in love and relationships and dating. And if you want to learn more, come see me at divorcedgirlsmiling.com. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. We'll talk to you real soon.